Dictators know that imposing laws is step one in achieving absolute power. Control the laws, and you control the people. Laws provide the framework for arrest and prosecution. They instill in people a fear of what might happen if they break those laws. The Christian knows that there is always a higher law, no matter what government may claim. The result? The dilemma of when to disobey those in power. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer has written a book entitled When a Nation Forgets God. In it, he's drawn parallels between the laws in today's America and yesterday's Germany to help us learn the lessons of history. Christians know they're responsible to government. Paul wrote in Romans 13, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Now, this creates a dilemma. When do you stop obeying the government? This dilemma was felt keenly by the people of Germany in the 1930s. The rise of Adolf Hitler led to the Holocaust, the systematic slaughter of 6 million Jews and millions of others, all done in accordance with the laws of the day. In our day, we have another Holocaust, the systematic slaughter of the unborn, clothed legally in the appealing phrase, a woman's right to choose. Over 200 years ago, British statesman Edmund Burke said, "Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it." Chapter 3 of Erwin Lutzer's book is about this. Something can be legal and also evil. To help us avoid repeating Germany's past, let me ask you this, Dr. Lutzer. How did Hitler use laws to control Germany and to promote his agenda?
Well, the way in which Hitler used laws in the whole court system, Dave, was to simply make himself the lawgiver. For example, what he decided to do is to declassify Jews and call them non-persons. The German word is Untermensch, subhuman. Because of that, no one was prosecuted for killing the Jews, because after all, they weren't human beings. And so what you can do is you can control a nation. In fact, I make the point in my book, show me your laws and I will show you your God. Let's take, for example, the Nuremberg Laws of 1935 that Hitler instituted. These deprived the Jews of citizenship. It forbade them to marry Germans. And later, there were 13 administrative regulations against the Jews that deprived them of their livelihood, and many of them had to starve to death. The whole business of who controls the laws. You mentioned earlier in your introduction that we have abortion today because there are people that control the laws, and just like the Jews were considered to be subhuman, in the very same way, we as a nation have agreed through our court system, at least the courts have agreed, that preborn infants are not humans, and so that's why they can be freely killed without prosecution. So this whole business of laws and the courts is incredibly important when you think of the direction of a nation.
After World War II, the Nuremberg trials were held to hold accountable those Germans who committed the atrocities that we call the Holocaust. Pastor Lutzer, what did those trials reveal about the power of laws?
This is very important. Eichmann said, "You cannot try me because I was simply obeying the laws of my country and my flag." And Goering said, "This court has no jurisdiction over me. I am a German." You see, the way in which Hitler changed the laws would have made these men non-criminals. They were guilty of no great crimes because they were keeping the laws. They were within the laws of Germany. Now, at Nuremberg, there was an American who stood up and who gave a lecture, and he was right. He said to these Germans that there is a law above a law. There is a transcendent law that applies to all countries, he said. And that, of course, is true. But we can't have those kind of transcendent laws unless there is a God. That's for another discussion. But the point is, it shows you what laws can do within a country, either for good or for evil.
The thoughts you're hearing today from Dr. Lutzer are taken from his new book, When a Nation Forgets God, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. At the end of our program today, you'll be told how you can have your own copy of this book sent to you. Pastor Lutzer, let's switch to the United States of America for a moment. The power of laws applies here as well, and as we've talked about the abortion issue, it's clear that some things that are legal are obviously still very evil, aren't they?
They really are. You know, here in the United States, the Constitution was rooted in a belief in God. There's no doubt that there was a Christian consensus. So the idea was that we were all created equal and were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. But that idea was weakened here in the United States, first of all, by evolution. Because evolution says might makes right, and after all, if we are not uniquely created by God, if we are simply the product of chance and time, then, of course, we have no really inherent values and no inherent rights. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes who said, "Laws are beliefs that have triumphed and nothing more." Again, he said, "Truth is the majority view of that nation which can lick all the others." So you have evolution. You have liberal theology. Liberal theology denies that the Bible is the Word of God. So you have the loss of God also in our society. And where does this leave us today? Well, you know, Dave, Francis Schaeffer used to talk about what we call sociological law. Sociological law, that's the idea that laws are to be made up on the basis of culture. You know, sometimes when we listen to candidates who are looking for our votes, they'll say that they believe that the Constitution is a living document. Watch that very, very carefully, because what they might be saying is that the Constitution is like putty in one's hands. It can be turned and shaped in whatever way the court wants to make it, and that is a very frightening proposition.
Let me ask you this. What might future courts in America decide now that the Constitution is no longer our defining document?
Dave, I'm going to answer this, and I'm going to give you a rather lengthy list of what I think we could be facing in the future. If the Supreme Court can find abortion within the Constitution because of the doctrine of privacy, if they could find abortion within the Constitution and declassify preborn infants and say that they are not infants, they are not human, then I suppose our Supreme Court can find almost anything in the Constitution. And they can do that by basically making up the law. I believe that the day will come when there will be the criminalization of all public expressions of Christianity. And of course, we're seeing that today. The Supreme Court can say that because of the separation of God from government, you are not allowed to publicly, at least within the public square, let me put it that way, exercise any form of Christianity. No crosses can be in cemeteries. There can be no verses of scripture on the Supreme Court building or any other building in the United States and in our government, because after all, we have to be thoroughly and totally secularized in the public sphere. Last time I spoke about hate speech, or I think possibly the first time we were together, I talked about hate crime laws. Well, that can now become hate speech. Even as we speak here, the United Nations is debating a resolution that would make all criticism of Islam a crime. I believe the time will come when the Supreme Court might reverse itself and deem that partial birth abortion is constitutional. Another big one, I believe that the Supreme Court might discover that same-sex marriage is in the Constitution. On the basis of being equal under the law, they can therefore say that same-sex marriage is totally constitutional. And then there are other things the court could decide. Some lower court or some higher court might decide that Bible studies with more than 10 people attending cannot be held in homes without a religious permit. That's the way in which you marginalize Christianity. That's the way in which Hitler did it. That's the way in which countries throughout the world do it, is they make laws that would, in effect, limit, marginalize, and in some sense even destroy the impact of Christianity in a culture. All that becomes possible.
Well, Pastor Lutzer, listeners all over the country are wondering, okay, I get it now. I see the picture. What can I do about it? Is there any way that we can effectively stem the tide?
Well, of course, first of all, I will mention politics. What we have to do is to realize that we should be involved in government as Christians. We need to be able to say to Republicans and to Democrats and to independents that you are going to be lost forever unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Laws are important, and we do all that we possibly can. We should support organizations, and some of them have been raised up, Christian organizations in the legal realm and in the legal sphere, who take on these important court cases, and they've won many, many important battles for us. All that is important. But as I mentioned, at the end of the day, we as a church need to prepare for persecution. That might seem to be an extreme statement, but it was Bonhoeffer who said that persecution is a gift to the church. He was quoting Philippians chapter 1, where it says, "To you it is given in the name of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." And the day may come when we will have to do that. The day may come when we might find that churches no longer have tax-exempt status if they do not perform same-sex marriages. That certainly could be on the horizon. So there are other ways that we might have to suffer for Christ. But here's what I want to end with today. Dave, when you think of what is happening in the United States, we still have it so good. We can still proclaim the gospel, at least in our churches. We can be involved in ministry. We can share the gospel with our colleagues. So what we need to do is to take advantage of these opportunities and remember our greatest gift to America is really the proclamation of the gospel. And I would say that if we want to make a difference in our culture, we have to witness to our neighbors. Let's have them over. Let's ask God to give us wisdom in terms of living an authentic Christian life before them, so that they begin to see that we as Christians have a relationship with God that is loving, that is trusting, and transforming.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Pastor Lutzer's new book is When a Nation Forgets God, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. It's a timely resource for all of us as we face the darkening skies in the United States. This book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. What some today call the mainstream media tend to take their cues from the government. In his day, Hitler used media to indoctrinate the population in his way of thinking. Tomorrow, we'll learn how propaganda can change a nation. Call a friend, invite them to listen, and don't miss our next edition of Running to Win. Dictators know that imposing laws is step one in achieving absolute power. Control the laws, and you control the people. Laws provide the framework for arrest and prosecution. They instill in people a fear of what might happen if they break those laws. The Christian knows that there is always a higher law, no matter what government may claim. The result? The dilemma of when to disobey those in power. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer has written a book entitled When a Nation Forgets God. In it, he's drawn parallels between the laws in today's America and yesterday's Germany to help us learn the lessons of history. Christians know they're responsible to government. Paul wrote in Romans 13, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Now, this creates a dilemma. When do you stop obeying the government? This dilemma was felt keenly by the people of Germany in the 1930s. The rise of Adolf Hitler led to the Holocaust, the systematic slaughter of 6 million Jews and millions of others, all done in accordance with the laws of the day. In our day, we have another Holocaust, the systematic slaughter of the unborn, clothed legally in the appealing phrase, a woman's right to choose. Over 200 years ago, British statesman Edmund Burke said, "Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it." Chapter 3 of Erwin Lutzer's book is about this. Something can be legal and also evil. To help us avoid repeating Germany's past, let me ask you this, Dr. Lutzer. How did Hitler use laws to control Germany and to promote his agenda?
Well, the way in which Hitler used laws and the whole court system, Dave, was to simply make himself the lawgiver. For example, what he decided to do is to declassify Jews and call them non-persons. The German word is Untermensch, subhuman. Because of that, no one was prosecuted for killing the Jews, because after all, they weren't human beings. And so what you can do is you can control a nation. In fact, I make the point in my book, show me your laws and I will show you your God. Let's take, for example, the Nuremberg Laws of 1935 that Hitler instituted. These deprived the Jews of citizenship. It forbade them to marry Germans. And later, there were 13 administrative regulations against the Jews that deprived them of their livelihood, and many of them had to starve to death. The whole business of who controls the laws. You mentioned earlier in your introduction that we have abortion today because there are people that control the laws, and just like the Jews were considered to be subhuman, in the very same way, we as a nation have agreed through our court system, at least the courts have agreed, that preborn infants are not humans. And so that's why they can be freely killed without prosecution. So this whole business of laws and the courts is incredibly important when you think of the direction of a nation.
After World War II, the Nuremberg trials were held to hold accountable those Germans who committed the atrocities that we call the Holocaust. Pastor Lutzer, what did those trials reveal about the power of laws?
This is very important. Eichmann said, "You cannot try me because I was simply obeying the laws of my country and my flag." And Goering said, "This court has no jurisdiction over me. I am a German." You see, the way in which Hitler changed the laws would have made these men non-criminals. They were guilty of no great crimes because they were keeping the laws. They were within the laws of Germany. Now, at Nuremberg, there was an American who stood up and who gave a lecture, and he was right. He said to these Germans that there is a law above a law. There is a transcendent law that applies to all countries, he said. And that, of course, is true. But we can't have those kind of transcendent laws unless there is a God. That's for another discussion. But the point is, it shows you what laws can do within a country, either for good or for evil.
The thoughts you're hearing today from Dr. Lutzer are taken from his new book, When a Nation Forgets God, 7 Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. At the end of our program today, you'll be told how you can have your own copy of this book sent to you. Pastor Lutzer, let's switch to the United States of America for a moment. The power of laws applies here as well, and as we've talked about the abortion issue, it's clear that some things that are legal are obviously still very evil, aren't they?
They really are. You know, here in the United States, the Constitution was rooted in a belief in God. There's no doubt that there was a Christian consensus. So the idea was that we were all created equal and were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. But that idea was weakened here in the United States, first of all, by evolution. Because evolution says might makes right, and after all, if we are not uniquely created by God, if we are simply the product of chance and time, then, of course, we have no really inherent values and no inherent rights. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes who said, "Laws are beliefs that have triumphed and nothing more." Again, he said, "Truth is the majority view of that nation which can lick all the others." So you have evolution. You have liberal theology. Liberal theology denies that the Bible is the Word of God. So you have the loss of God also in our society. And where does this leave us today? Well, you know, Dave, Francis Schaeffer used to talk about what we call sociological law. Sociological law, that's the idea that laws are to be made up on the basis of culture. You know, sometimes when we listen to candidates who are looking for our votes, they'll say that they believe that the Constitution is a living document. Watch that very, very carefully, because what they might be saying is that the Constitution is like putty in one's hands. It can be turned and shaped in whatever way the court wants to make it, and that is a very frightening proposition.
Let me ask you this. What might future courts in America decide now that the Constitution is no longer our defining document?
Dave, I'm going to answer this, and I'm going to give you a rather lengthy list of what I think we could be facing in the future. If the Supreme Court can find abortion within the Constitution because of the doctrine of privacy, if they could find abortion within the Constitution and declassify preborn infants and say that they are not infants, they are not human, then I suppose our Supreme Court can find almost anything in the Constitution. And they can do that by basically making up the law. I believe that the day will come when there will be the criminalization of all public expressions of Christianity. And of course, we're seeing that today. The Supreme Court can say that because of the separation of God from government, you are not allowed to publicly, at least within the public square, let me put it that way, exercise any form of Christianity. No crosses can be in cemeteries. There can be no verses of Scripture on the Supreme Court building or any other building in the United States and in our government. Because after all, we have to be thoroughly and totally secularized in the public sphere. Last time I spoke about hate speech, or I think possibly the first time we were together, I talked about hate crime laws. Well, that can now become hate speech. Even as we speak here, the United Nations is debating a resolution that would make all criticism of Islam a crime. I believe the time will come when the Supreme Court might reverse itself and deem that partial birth abortion is constitutional. Another big one, I believe that the Supreme Court might discover that same-sex marriage is in the Constitution. On the basis of being equal under the law, they can therefore say that same-sex marriage is totally constitutional. And then there are other things the court could decide. Some lower court or some higher court might decide that Bible studies with more than 10 people attending cannot be held in homes without a religious permit. That's the way in which you marginalize Christianity. That's the way in which Hitler did it. That's the way in which countries throughout the world do it, is they make laws that would, in effect, limit, marginalize, and in some sense even destroy the impact of Christianity in a culture. all that becomes possible.
Well, Pastor Lutzer, listeners all over the country are wondering, okay, I get it now. I see the picture. What can I do about it? Is there any way that we can effectively stem the tide?
Well, of course, first of all, I will mention politics. What we have to do is to realize that we should be involved in government as Christians. We need to be able to say to Republicans and to Democrats and to independents that you are going to be lost forever unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Laws are important, and we do all that we possibly can. We should support organizations, and some of them have been raised up, Christian organizations in the legal realm and in the legal sphere who take on these important court cases, and they've won many, many important battles for us. All that is important. But as I mentioned, at the end of the day, we as a church need to prepare for persecution. That might seem to be an extreme statement, but it was Bonhoeffer who said that persecution is a gift to the church. He was quoting Philippians chapter 1, where it says, "To you it is given in the name of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." And the day may come when we will have to do that. The day may come when we might find that churches no longer have tax-exempt status if they do not perform same-sex marriages. That certainly could be on the horizon. So there are other ways that we might have to suffer for Christ. But here's what I want to end with today. Dave, when you think of what is happening in the United States, we still have it so good. We can still proclaim the gospel, at least in our churches. We can be involved in ministry. We can share the gospel with our colleagues. So what we need to do is to take advantage of these opportunities and remember our greatest gift to America is really the proclamation of the gospel. And I would say that if we want to make a difference in our culture, we have to witness to our neighbors. Let's have them over. Let's ask God to give us wisdom in terms of living an authentic Christian life before them so that they begin to see that we as Christians have a relationship with God that is loving, that is trusting, and transforming.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Pastor Lutzer's new book is When a Nation Forgets God, Seven Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. It's a timely resource for all of us as we face the darkening skies in the United States. This book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. What some today call the mainstream media tend to take their cues from the government. In his day, Hitler used media to indoctrinate the population in his way of thinking. Tomorrow, we'll learn how propaganda can change a nation. Call a friend, invite them to listen, and don't miss our next edition of Running to Win.